Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is your training for mastership. Your life here on Earth, beloveds, is for one purpose, and that is to train you in mastery so that your life can be about serving all life in this and a myriad of worlds. You're part of an outreach of service as a divine agency to extend this divine life and love and surcharging of creative excellence into ongoing creation. Creation is open-ended, expanding, scientists tell us, at the speed of light. We can't even imagine how we are impacting creation by every thought, word, and deed. We are the divine agency for incarnating heaven on earth. Heaven within the solar system. Heaven within the cosmos. You and I are that divine agency. Our collective power to affect global transformation is literally limitless. Only we set the default to limitation. No one and nothing limits and circumscribes you to a small portion. You have unlimited power, unlimited authority, and unlimited opportunity to exercise your divine self at any given moment. Your ego self has a limited, shall we say, roaming range, and that will be short-circuited. Everything that is not of loving and of divine truth will be consumed at the end of this particular cycle of creation. Everything that is not of love, you will not take with you into eternity. Eternal life is the eternal truth of who you are as a divine expression. As such, and when you're in that expression, you have eternal life. All that is not of that eternality will have an obsolescence factor built into it and will in time be consumed. It will not have that eternal quotient. Now that is the good news, because you can't really export your negativity and your darkness into eternal love and eternal life. So your real life begins the moment that you become aware that your life is not about you. It's about the divinity incarnated in you and as you. The one you think you are, generally speaking, is your physical body, your personality, your likes and dislikes. Beloved, that has absolutely nothing to do about you at all. The one others think you are is generally your ideas, your concepts, your words, and your behavior. Beloved, that has nothing to do with you at all. The one you really are is the one that when you discover that, your real life begins. Then, and only then, will you find the end of that which you're seeking. It says that everyone in the world is seeking something. Yes, we know that. Everyone is seeking something, generally loving, or to be loved, to be wanted, to be needed, to have a place, to have a function, to have importance. But bottom line, behind that search, is the desire to know the self. It's clothed in all of these external searches and all of these different metaphors, but the truth is, you but seek the love that you are. And when you find that, when you find that core within you, your real life begins. Now you have a sense of security. Now you have a sense of freedom. You're liberated from fear and insecurity. Now you're able to really live, to laugh, to love, to enjoy life. That perfect love you sought in another, you've discovered, is your own nature. And having found that within, you will see and experience and find it everywhere you look, in every single person. So who set your defaults? Who set these particular preset conceptions that you have of reality, that keep you recycling back again and again and again to the same reference points. We have so often preconceived ideas that it's just this way, and anything that doesn't agree with the way that we've decided that it is, it must be a hoax, it must be unreal, it must be untrue, you know, all of that particular dialogue you'll hear. But what if? What if none of what you believed about yourself, life, God, and others mattered at all? What if none of it was real? What if you made it all up because you set the defaults? You placed the limits. You set in place your own restrictive prison bars. But what if there never was any prison at all? What if that was all something you imagined was real, and now you can quietly let it all be dissolved for you? I'm suggesting that that is just the way it can be. You can decide now to come like a little child in innocence, not knowing what anything is for, being content not to understand any of it, being content to be like just a brand new creation landing on this planet and going, whoa, what a gorgeous planet. Wow, look at the diversity. Look at the opportunity. Look at the fun. What if you could just see the planet as one beautiful Disneyland? Granted, a lot of people on the planet today are not experiencing Disneyland. If you look outside at the outer facade, you could say, there's so much suffering, how can I say these things? I must surely be truly insensitive. But beloved, the truth is, your life was self-orchestrated. Every one of us has a life that was orchestrated at a level of great oversight and wisdom. So we need to trust our life. You stay on top of your game by always trusting yourself and always trusting the divine and trusting the process you are undergoing. The process of your life, beloved, was particularly designed for you to reveal to yourself the areas of your strength and to practice strengthening the areas of your weakness, to practice mastering and overcoming and becoming more and more adept at exercising the play of mastery in terms of directing energy and sourcing energy and working to transform energy. All of life is an arena of energy. You know, quantum science sets forth the idea that many possible futures exist for each moment of our lives. That's so important, I'm going to repeat it again. Quantum science postulates the idea that many possible futures exist for each moment of our lives. And these futures remain dormant until awakened by choices we make in each moment and circumstance. Wow. That means that we have unlimited opportunities to make different choices. But if we have a default system that goes off like a knee-jerk reaction every time certain buttons are pushed, which is the way the ego operates, fight or flight, knee-jerk reactions, you know, somebody said something that you don't like or you don't believe or you know, all of that. All of that comes out of the false ego self. That will not lead you to truth. That is part of the prison that keeps you in that same old that we all find extremely dreary. So what if you just didn't react like you normally do? What if you just remained silent and just watched? Or what if you asked yourself, what would love do? In this situation, how could I respond from my mastery? Or what would love do? Because love and mastery are really one. In this solar system, in this particular second-ray universe of love wisdom, our overriding lesson is to know God as love. So all actions are measured against love. Are we in loving, which is unified consciousness or Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness or Krishna consciousness? In other words, divine consciousness is the recognition of the underlying oneness we all share in the love and wisdom and creative expression of one source from which we extend but never depart. So that spiritual component within us is eternally a master. That which you are that is to be a master already is a master in the eternal now. But you may be far, far from being integrated with that mastery in terms of your ego personality, in terms of your daily behavior, in terms of your choices. You may be acting completely out of your lower self. You may not have any measure of soul contact and integration. The evidence of that, as I've told you in previous shows, when you have a measure of soul contact, it represents itself as a sense of focus outwardly in service. You're not internally focused in sense of what you feel, what you think, what you need. It's not about that. You begin to look at what you can do to make a contribution that's uplifting and helpful to others. It's like you turn inside out, and so does your attention. Your speech begins to be about the things that you're doing to be of service. You listen to people that are in the ego state. They're gossiping, they're slandering, they're complaining, they're running their victim stories, they're telling about their karma dramas, or they're doing their organ recital. Organ recital is when they're talking about their operations and the pills they're taking, what's wrong with their bodies. This is part of what we let fall aside when we have a measure of integration with the truth of who we are. We begin to see ourselves as a conduit of grace, as an extension of the divine plan in service. Do you realize that you are a member of the spiritual guardians of humanity, i.e., the Great White Brotherhood, or the hierarchy of spiritual adepts? Do you realize that? Even if you're the most rank beginner on the path, you are in that grouping of souls that has made the choice to come in, to awaken, and to extend yourself in eternal service. That brings joy to a ripened soul, which is another indication that there is a measure of soul contact and integration. You feel extreme joy at seeing others advance, others prosper, others having their needs met, others healed, others comforted. So, beloved, it's not about you. This life is not about you. Even your spiritual development is not about you. That's all selfish when you're thinking about what you're going to get, what you're going to have, what you're going to achieve. It's not about that. This life is not about your job. It's not about making more money. It's not about securing your future or your retirement. It's not about your meeting your twin flame. It's not about having even a pleasant life. It's not about ascending. It's not about you at all. It is about learning to live, truly live, in that part of you that is divine, eternal, that has the ability to rise above the karma dramas of the physical, the emotional, and the mental arenas of life. These are all impermanent. These are all transitory. Not one of these things is going to last. In 10, 15, 20 years, you won't even remember what you're upset about today. You won't even care. It'll be something else. And if you're not awakened to who you are, it'll be a variation of the same misery that you're contending with today. So why don't you end cycle to that? take a different approach. If you haven't realized who you are yet, what you're using is not working for you. So pick something else. Try many things. You know, it takes a certain amount of stroke sometimes, you know, with a hammer, to break open a geode. And some geodes, you know, you just need to tap them because they've had enough hammer strokes and they're just ready to open. Others, you know, they need more strokes. So find out whatever it is that's going to open you to your unlimited self, to that self that's free to love, free to give, free to be there, free to be available. So what our life is about is service to the divine plan. You might ask, well, what is the divine plan? Well, the divine plan at any given point is the collective consensus of what we all need to manifest the best we can possibly manifest for a given cycle of time. The hierarchy has as its objective within the next 3,000 years that all of humanity will be returned to soul consciousness. You know, long ago, before the fall in Atlantis, we were, according to many teachers, already in the sixth dimension. We were already ascended masters. We already had the ability to go through the L conversion in and out of the dimensional planes. And then with the fall, which had to do with many extraterrestrial races, at least two, that came in and sought to pirate the plan, and to enslave humanity, when that occurred, the order of Melchizedek had to put a cap over our interdimensional access. And we became slam dunked into the third density, locked into the physical body, locked into the densified limited light spectrum. And we could no longer soar and have that freedom that we had enjoyed prior to this quarantine. This is the sense of imprisonment that seems to dog so many people. But now, you see, beloved, the cap has come off. The quarantine has been lifted. And through the ages, through the mystery schools, through the schools of initiation, through all of those processes, gradually, gradually, light is being reinserted into our holograms so that we can be returned to our original state. That has been called the plan of salvation, or the restoration to divine wholeness, pre-fallen grace and wholeness. Now we know in terms of truth, 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 that is an episode within the dream field. But it is an experiential nightmare that most of us can relate to. And in the process of awakening, this begins to dissolve. All that dynamic begins to dissolve, and you begin to come to yourself as if you were like Rip Van Winkle. You'd suddenly awaken and found ages had passed, and you were in a new world. And this is what we call the return, the path of return, or the awakening, or the quickening, or the shift of the ages, all of these metaphors. So your life was self-orchestrated at a level that you could trust. So in any given situation, look to see what can you do. What can you do to shift the energy and make it work for you? Make it work in a more positive way for the people that are in that situation. See where you can make a better selection, wiser choices. Move yourself to the areas of greater expansiveness and freedom. Those will always be the areas of God's selection for you at the highest level, because the will of the cosmos is to set you free to be creative agencies of divine expansion and consciousness acceleration and amelioration. So what does work in your life? What is the opportunity afforded by where you are right now? What are your options? Is there another way you can view your situation? We constantly need to be examining our attitude. If we're not in an attitude of gratitude, then we're looking in the wrong way. We're looking out of ego. We're looking out of victim consciousness. So examine your attitude and use gratitude as your touchstone for being integrated with that positive energy of the divine self. What if you took an entirely different approach? What if, you know, what I like to do periodically, I like to look at life through an entirely different philosophical or spiritual or religious lens. I love to do that. And I suggest that if you're secure in yourself, you might want to do that too. It's not the way for everyone. If you're rather new as an extraterrestrial soul onto the earth scene, then probably being too random in this is not a good idea because you can become confused. But if you're pretty solid in your identity, then you can expand and look through different reality lenses. It's interesting, when you first start your awakening in this incarnation, in this, probably every lifetime you go through the same thing, you often confront, first of all, the paths that you have the greatest affinity with. They could be dark paths. They could be paths that you're definitely not to re-enter into this lifetime. They could be obsolete paths. For example, in my case, I tried to become a nun early on in my life, which was a return to the way of least resistance for me, which was to go into the monastic or the cloistered type of environments, because my last four lifetimes I was an Indian guru. So that would not have been the path for me in this life, obviously. So your first exposure generally to a teaching may not be the teaching that you are to ultimately pursue. It could be a test to see if you can discern, oh, been there, done that, that's not my path this lifetime. And often we don't know that until we've walked into it, at least to a certain degree, and tasted it. But be aware that your path in this lifetime is going to stretch you. You know, it's not going to be exactly comfortable. It's going to test you in the areas of your weakness. It's going to strengthen you in the areas where you are deficient or lack expertise. It's going to test you in the areas where you claim to be masterful. You know, it's easy to talk about patience until somebody really makes you impatient or situations call for you to demonstrate patience. So each of these qualities of mastership will be tested to see if indeed you're talking the talk and walking the walk, or if it's just all talk and no walk. So practice is how you develop your mastership. It's exercising conscious divinity, exercising conscious choosing to do the loving thing, the loving action, the loving behavior. All of life is about interactions with others. Now, the others are the illusion, because in truth, there's only one. I know the outer costume is different, but, you know, you pull off the outer skin and we all have the same organs, we all have the same red blood, we all have pretty much the same wiring and circuitry and general internal composition. Reduce that even more to the spiritual essence, and we find that there's one spirit that is indwelling all of us. They call it the Atma in the Eastern teachings, and in the Western teachings it's called the monad, which means the one or the spirit. So there's one spirit that is operating like the electricity operates through all of the different colored bulbs we have on our Christmas tree, all the different colored light fixtures we have in our homes. There's one electricity, even though the bulbs look different. In an exact analogy, is that one spirit dwelling and giving life and vitality and brilliance to every single physical envelope. In fact, when a person is God-realized, that's all they see. For them, the world completely dissolves. There is no world. Those diamonds are relatively rare. because if they were in a greater preponderance on the planet, the whole planet would dissolve in a beam of light. And apparently that's not the divine plan. So there's a certain percentage of souls that choose, for one reason or another, to hold just short of that divine full realization so that they can teach, so that they can engage in the Maya to a certain extent and have just enough belief in it to be able to exercise their missions. Because when you awaken fully and totally, you just do not perceive this reality anymore. You can't respond to it. It just doesn't even show up as a blip on your inner radar. Now today, especially in America and probably in other countries as well, the masses are seeking in the world for their answers, for their salvation. They're looking for politicians, to government, to who's going to be elected as president here in the United States. They're looking for and to material assets, how to secure their retirement, their Medicare, their future, whatever. They're looking to medicine as a solution to keeping their health and keeping themselves young. They're looking to science to find the answer to disease and to conquer certain things that we have running rampant on our outer planet, seemingly. So they're, in short, looking to everything outside themselves for leadership, knowledge, direction, and solutions. And this state of consciousness is called social consciousness, and it is predicated on complete ignorance of who they are as divine beings. As part of the awakening process, the next step is those who are seeking outside for their salvation to the coming of a Savior or a Messiah, whether you call that Savior the 10th avatar of Vishnu, or the Kalki avatar, or Maitreya, or the Iman Mahi, or Jesus Christ, or whoever you're looking to outside yourself is going to come, or Ashtar is going to land, or the Syrians are going to land, or whoever is going to land and make it all better. Whatever, or a pole shift, and, Ashtar is going to beam us up, or whatever. Or they're looking to the masters of the Great White Brotherhood to do something spectacular. Or they're looking to channeled information from entities on the other side to guide them. And this stage is called the psychic consciousness. Again, it is looking outside to others for illumination and direction and reference points. Or I could have put in there religious, that type of looking, too, is in that same psychic level, whether it's metaphysical or religious or occult or all of that. You still basically have a psychic consciousness that's looking outside itself or to other entities or to other levels for their answer. Then you have those who are looking within to the state of their inner consciousness and see the world as a reflection of their state of consciousness. They focus their attention, therefore, on shifting and lifting and transcending in their awareness. And these are the people that we would call the self-realized. They are probably where most of us are that are listening to programs of this type. They are the mystics, the yogis, the rishis, the adepts from previous lifetimes, the awakening ones, and the self-realized ones. And for those of you that find yourself in that category, the next step is to move into the step of the God-realized. And you will know you're God-realized when you see only the divine self alone. The world for you then no longer exists. There is only the one. And then you are like a diamond. And the whole world is transformed by that state. I think that's why true power is only available to beings of that level. And literally they can become omnipotent. They can have complete knowledge of all things and complete power. and complete awareness at that level. They virtually become one with God, or the Spirit of God, the energy of God, the Holy Spirit. So, again, in any given situation, begin to ask yourself, can I respond from my mastery here in this situation? How can I behave, speak, and exemplify spiritual integration and mastery? It's very beautiful when we do that, because we begin to live above karma. Karma, when our reaction is negative, because we're the creator and perpetrator of those things that we set forth, we're held responsible for them. So somehow, every imbalanced, unloving, gnarly action, we must rectify balance and clear in some way so that balance is restored. And since most of us have a great deal of unfinished unbalances from previous lifetimes, that's why we get caught in reincarnation, because over and over again, we still have more things to balance and to bring into clearance. Now, those things can be dissolved in an instant in which you truly are saved. Again, salvation is the return to complete awareness of who you are as a divine being. This is something that I will go into again and again in different ways, because it's so important. I'm going to use the Course of Miracles description of salvation tonight, so we can take a little different viewpoint of it. And it is to extend the atonement, or the unified vision. In other words, it's to look beyond the behavior of yourself and others to see the only begotten Son of God, that pure and innocent emanation of the divine, that in highest truth is only loving. It's to look beyond the behavior to the beloved. That is to extend the atonement. And according to Jesus in the Course of Miracles, when we extend the atonement, that particular action saves humanity thousands and thousands of years and is part of our restoration of heaven on earth. It's part of that divine salvation that we have come as divine instruments. Christ wants to save the world through us. He wants to use us as his collective body, his collective messianic movement in this world. Through us, he wants to avert war, global destruction, disease, despair, through using you to save the world. Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? You alone, beloved, could save the world, because it only takes one to do it for everyone. So your actions count. We are all connected as one collective Christ sonship. And from the higher point of view of the divine, we are viewed as one. We are the uniquely begotten Son of God. So no one is illumined without brightening the entire world. No one is healed or experiences miracles alone. No one steps free through grace without affecting the whole. Our every thought, word, and deed is communicating throughout the whole of the cosmos. What we are here to employ is the technology of the spirit, the technology of the heart. It's not going to come through anything other than a transformation of our heart, our consciousness, our innermost being. When that occurs, we will find the answers to our everything that we seemingly lack. We will find the new inventions coming alongside our awakening to the technology which is without technology, that which is of the heart. Our brothers and sisters in the dolphin and cetacean and whale families have modeled this for us for years, and most of us get that. Most of us realize that these are advanced consciousnesses. These are part of those divine beings who selected not to come into the human body, which would predispose them to external technology. Do you realize that Atlantis actually fell through artificial Merkaba? Artificial? Well, they created nuts and bolts spaceships and wanted to mount on high and claim the divine throne worlds through artificial and technological mechanics. Whereas, in truth, our own light field, our own spiritual light bodies form that shape that is called the divine transcendency element. We become the Merkaba. We move in the Zohar bodies, or the jeweled vehicles, as it's called in Buddhism, the rainbow body, the jewel. That is what we travel in, and it's an extension of our own consciousness. This is why the angels aren't shown riding around in spaceships. So only man has contrived these artificial ways to ascend. And all of that falls aside in the technology of the heart, in the technology of the spirit. That's why in my particular teaching and work, I never encourage people to use any kind of gimmicks, whether they're machines or crystals or whatever. I always counsel people to find that divine quality within and to exercise that, because all forms of outer technology weaken that inner state. Here we're so dependent on our cell phones and we're so dependent on our computers that it wouldn't surprise me if at some point we are completely left without them, because they have crippled our telepathic rapport. My goodness, these tribes like the Koji and the other indigenous peoples, they can communicate for miles and miles and miles just with certain calls and certain sounds and certain drumming and certain rapport. The higher adepts in those particular tribes communicate mind to mind, consciousness to consciousness, where there's no limitation, absolutely none. That's how you communicate with those of us in the Ashtar Command. That's why we stay out of your face to a large extent. These many sightings and spaceships are not usually us. We are the lenticular clouds. We are the ships that may sparkle like a jewel, the Merkaba manifestations, the bioplasmic manifestations that look like jewels. But the real nuts and bolts kind of technology that we're seeing now is mostly government, alien, military, back-engineered spaceships. Or they're spaceships from astral civilizations that live in the second heaven, or the second or astral or causal or mental planes that surround the Earth and the equivalency of the Earth, that is the third and the fourth dimensions that surround the various planets in our solar system. So this is not the type of technology that we need. Many, many years ago, when we appealed to the governments of the world, the United States and others, and offered them technologies that would be in the enhancement of freedom, in the enhancement of global peace, in the enhancement of divine awareness, this was refused, and instead the governments chose to partner with aliens that gave them military technology for death, for destruction, and for killing other human beings. And so that is why the Ashtar Command is quite different in its intention and in the way that it interacts with humanity. We actually do as little as we can to get you to look to us. That's why in my radio shows, I don't talk about the Ashtar Command, even though I speak as a direct voice of the Ashtar Command. But I speak into our primary message, which is to awaken you to divinity, to awaken you to your mastership, to return you to your divine, all-embracive cosmic awareness, that you are the very breath of the divine throne worlds spoken forth into the ethers, that your presence is the very living light and the living word given fleshly imagery in time and space. You are the very kiss of divinity pressed upon the fabric of the transitory and the passing. And yet that love is eternal, beloveds, and that is who you are. And your whole life is about awakening to that, stepping into that, mastering that, expressing that, and letting everything else go. Yes, you're going to be different from the world. Do you want to appear like everybody else that you see on television and everybody else the way they talk in the media? Is that the reality you want to be yours? Then you'll have the same kind of messy life. My goodness, look at all this stuff that's on television. It's one pill after another, one operation after another, one silly thing after another. It's like a comedy of errors. And if you keep filling your mind with that and keep thinking about that and keep believing in that, then you're going to end up like everybody else. But I'm speaking about a quality of life that you can return to, where you return to your original state, which is birthless, deathless, ageless, ever regenerating, ever rejuvenating, ever expressive, ever creative, and ever more masterful. And that is an ongoing position, because we serve this planet and we keep expanding the arena of our ability to extend and giving ourselves into life, into enlightenment. Trust yourself, beloved. So many people look to others for reference points for truth. Why do we do that? Why do we quote some authority rather than going into the inner authority, the inner master, the Holy Spirit within us, the divine spirit of prophecy and revelation that indwells you? Why not go into that for our guidance? I don't know. It's sort of like monkey see, monkey do, isn't it? And yet, if we're to believe in the 100 monkey effect, we are in that quantum activational period now, when so many people have awakened and chosen back, that we're going to see this shift. I believe that our prayers and our consensus agreement that the Third World War is not an option, these dire scenarios that the prophets of doom speak about, is not an option. Global terrorism is not an option. You know, I was watching a Christian program the other day, and they have a brilliant idea. They have an Adopt a Terrorist prayer program, where you pick one of the many pictures of people around the world that are perpetrating atrocities, and you pray for that person. And it's based on the teaching of Jesus in the Bible, where it says, overcome evil with good, and pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the people who come against you. Use the example of Jesus on the cross when he looked at his tormentors and he said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And like Gandhi, when Gandhi was shot, the last word on his lip was Rama. He called out the name of God, and he said, forgive them. So this same kind of attitude of, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't awakened yet to the love that they are. So pray. Pray for people that are running amok right now. There's so much insanity. People are going bonkers because they're so afraid. They're afraid of what's going to happen because they don't know who they are. And we know that perfect love casts out all fear. So be that perfect love. Pray for the people that seem to be the enemies of humanity, the enemies of life, the enemies of safety and sanity. Pray for everyone. Pray for everyone where you see this type of situation in play. Pray for the warlords over in Sudan and Darfur and the Palestinians and the people in America and the people in Israel and the people in all the flashpoints, the people in the United Arab worlds, the people in India, the people in Pakistan, the people everywhere in the world, in Colombia, in Central America, in South America, and Japan, and China, and, you name it, the Korea, North and South Korea. Get yourself a planetary globe and hold it to your breast and send the love of your divine heart to all people, to all humanity. Pray for them like you would pray for your own child, like you'd pray for your own mother and father, because they are someone's children. They are someone's mother and father and spouse. They are someone's loved one. And underneath all of that distortion of mind and that agitated emotional body is the self-same divine spirit that dwells in you, that dwells in Jesus Christ. There's the self-same love that dwells in every one of them, just covered up with negative default settings. So let's reset the defaults. Let's be those who pray through every possible negative prophetic scenario and call forward the divine loving, the divine peace, the divine transformation. Let's be so doggedly intent that none of these things that are negatively prophesied are going to come to pass. That we're like a bulldog. We've got this divine plan by the seat of the pants, and we're not going to let go. We are going to absolutely safeguard this planet as it transforms once again into the divine heaven on earth. And we'll find that we've lifted it into the kingdom of heaven. We'll find that the outer world and all of its negative scenarios will simply begin to blip out and dissolve and dismantle, and disassemble. I promise you, on the authority of the great saints that I have sat with, the great avatars, the great mystics that I've been so privileged to study with and have company with, both on the inner planes and physically and outwardly, I promise you, on their word, their enlightened word, that that can be our future. We can activate that. That's why we're here as light workers. That is our calling. That is our mission. So let aside all of the pettiness, all the stupid stuff that you're not going to care about 1 cent 10 years from now, 5 years from now, or maybe even a year from now. Let it go. Heal your past. Let it go. Get over it. And be present in your eternal self. Be present in that. Stay focused on that. Jesus became the Savior for all humanity. Why? Because he never lost his focus of the loving that he is and was. He never lost it. He kept his focus single, and he kept his focus pure. And it only takes one within the collectivity to do it for all, for everyone. That thought system is what he has shared so strongly in the Course in Miracles, which again I highly recommend for any of you that would like to have consistent training in this thought system of seeing beyond the appearance, of seeing from the divine mind, of seeing from the higher consciousness. You've got to do some study and some work on yourself if you want to maintain a new default setting. You've got to fill your mind with new thoughts and new ways of looking at life. And I personally can't think of a better one on the planet than the Course in Miracles. That's for your daily study. And to understand the bigger plan and the bigger ascension program, again, I recommend Dr. Hertak's book, The Keys of Enoch. And again, to understand something of the thought systems that have come in with the indoctrinations of centuries, many, many traditions, read the Bible and the Old Testament to understand what we've been saved from and delivered from, and read the New Testament of what your inheritance and authority is now as a saved child of God, as a soul that has been redeemed and set free through the action of the Christ. And know that speaks for you too. Step free through grace. Step into your divine authority. Take charge of making those choices that will usher in heaven on earth. Because when any one of us does it, it will have a transfer value to the entire planet. And everyone will be touched by your choice to live in your mastery. Believe it, it's true. Everyone will be touched by your choice to turn aside from anger, to choose love above fear, to choose joining and forgiving above separation and grievance. Everyone on the planet will be ushered into heaven, second by second, choice by choice, as you make different choices within the infinite possibilities that each one of us has within any given second to make a totally different world. And so I bless everybody and send my love as your sister in standing with you in this resolve that it need be ugly. It needn't be negative. It can indeed be as simple as walking into the most beautiful day of the rest of our lives. The Hopis have a tradition that the earth will be transformed like that, that will awaken to a day in which we will absolutely sing for delight. The waters will be pure, and the earth will be verdant and cleared, and there won't be any more pollution and smog and corruption and all of that. It will have completely vanished in the light of a new day. Sai Baba speaks of it like that too. And I believe that we are the generation and we are the agency through which this transformation will take place. And that is what I'm dedicating myself to doing. And I know that many of you are as well. So that's primarily the gist of what I wanted to share with you tonight. I'm very excited about these thoughts because they are not only true, they're very, very beautiful. And the more we dwell into this type of thinking, the more we will find that we are centered and integrating our levels of mastery and returning to the ancient ones and the ancient heritage that we had long before the nightmare of the fall ever occurred. And tonight we'll go out with a beautiful chant. Shanti Shalom. 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 And we send blessings of peace to all beings, peace and happiness and joy and awakening to all beings, to all worlds, to all countries, to all cultures, to every man, woman, and child. We send our united blessings. We pray for the peace of all humanity. We pray that all of us may come into a life of exceeding beauty and exceeding awakening to all that we can be, to all that we can co-create. We're coming into a cycle of great possibility. Let us rejoice and truly partake of it. God evening and God blessings to each one of you. Adonai, Hashem, Adonai.
Hello.